All right, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. Our text is verse 14, but what brought me here is that I've been hearing from a number of my brethren and those whom I love just how troubled they are and the anxiety that they feel. And that which gives us trouble and anxiety and difficulties in this life, they differ from person to person. Some people are troubled by the news. Some people are troubled by their own mental anxieties. And we get troubled about many different things, circumstances we find ourselves in and trials that we come into. And so many people will feel anxiety and stress. They'll feel their hearts troubled and afraid about different things. And a lot of times we don't even know why we're so troubled. We realize it's an irrational fear. It doesn't make sense. We know it, but we still feel the fear and the anxiety nonetheless. And so thinking of that, I first thought of the verse in Isaiah 26, verse 3, which was a help to me, something that was laid on my heart from a young age about the time I was 20. And that's where the prophet Isaiah said, in Isaiah 26, 3, he said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee." And so I was thinking of that verse and wanting to bring a message that would be a comfort and a help to the people of God, to my brethren who think on the Lord. And as I was thinking of these things, another verse came into my mind, which is appropriate, considered appropriate for this time of year. And that's how we came to Luke chapter 2. And I want to read verses 13 and 14 with you. It says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so I hope to bring a message to you. I want to bring a message to you this morning that will be a comfort to you who are troubled, to anyone who gets troubled by something. I pray that this be a comfort to you, to the people of God. I'm very much like you. I also get anxious and I get stressed about things and I worry about things, even knowing that I shouldn't worry about them and that I can't add one cubit of stature to myself by worrying about something. I know I can't help myself by worrying or feeling anxious. And I have a great blessing in being able to study and read the Word of God, and doing so while I'm feeling at times anxious or going through trials or difficulties. And one constant theme proves true over and over again, no matter what it is that's causing me fear or worry or stress. It doesn't matter what it is. I can't find anything more peaceful, more comforting than being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, to behold him, to remember that my God has taken upon him flesh. He's come as the mediator, as the surety of his people, and bore my sin on the cross, putting it away while bearing the wrath of God in himself to make an atonement, a covering for my sin. And I find that a lot of times the stress or the anxiety that I bring on myself is oftentimes wrought in me because I'm trying to save my life. I'm worried about the things that I've gathered, or do I have enough, or the things I've laid up for a difficult day, and I worry, what if they're all taken away? And so the fear comes in trying to save my life. And our Lord spoke to that, saying, he that will save his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, he'll find it. He'll find it. And of a truth, that which is most comforting is when you take that fear and run all the way to the worst that can happen. And you realize, you know, death is not the worst thing. And then I'll be in the presence of my God. And what a joy and comfort to know that all my sins have been put away and God is pleased with me for Christ's sake. And so that is my comfort and my joy. And I believe he is the comfort and joy for all God's people. All God's people. And so when you're troubled and weary and afraid, just remember, you know, all these things are in the hand of the Lord. And they're all passing away. And then we'll be with the Lord forever. And what a joy and a comfort that is to me, and I believe to you also. And so it's a message for you that are poor, you that are weary and troubled and anxious in your souls. It's a message to you. And as I was thinking on these things, it became apparent to me in this passage in Luke chapter 2 that these shepherds to whom this word came, they were lowly. And they came as lowly messengers with the word that the Lord had revealed to them, had taught them and put in their heart. They heard of the Savior, the Christ of God. He's the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, that he was born, that he came robed in flesh. And so hearing that word and believing that word, they went to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They wanted to go and see this one of whom the angels spake. And so the testimony that they bear them in coming with that message, coming in that faith, they bore a testimony. They bore a message. And that message came to Mary. And who is Mary? But another lowly handmaiden of the Lord, who was doing the will of God by bearing that baby in her womb, conceived in her womb by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. And she was just a lowly handmaiden. And they came and bearing that testimony unto her. And we read, look down in verse 19, Luke 2:19. Mary, seeing this testimony that was born to her, hearing this word and seeing this word worked out before her, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that's a good example of what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 26:3 when he said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Mary received that message. She received that word from those lowly shepherds who came seeking the Christ, and Mary pondered those things in her heart. She thought on those things and was comforted by the Lord. And so I pray that the Lord would be pleased to take this word from this lowly messenger, and that you would ponder them in your heart, that he would bring them to your heart, and you'd think on that word that your Lord has for you this day in the preaching of Jesus Christ. So I've titled this message, In Perfect Peace, In Perfect Peace. And I want to look with you at, to whom does the Lord send this word? To whom is he speaking this word of peace in the Lord Jesus Christ? And then we'll look at three things in which we and how we understand the peace that our God gives to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then very quickly, the last point will just be a little word on the obedience of faith. It'll just be a short closing point. So let's begin with whom. To whom does the Lord speak these words? You know, we think we live in chaotic times. Maybe not all of you think that, but I think that sometimes, and probably many of you think we live in crazy, odd, weird times. You know, we look at our politicians, perhaps, and we think, why are they doing this? It's just putting an unnecessary burden upon us, and it just troubles the people and makes life difficult for no real apparent reason. And there's a variety of things in which we might think we live in chaotic or strange times. But the reality is, everybody lives in strange and odd and chaotic times. They always have. And in fact, the time in which our Lord was born, it was Caesar Augustus who was reigning over the known world. He was reigning over all of Rome. And he decided that it would be good to tax all the world that was under his control, under his command. And that world included those in Israel and Judah, that they too had to be taxed, being under the rule of Caesar Augustus. And so Joseph and his very, very pregnant wife had to pick up where they were staying in Galilee, in the northern part of the land of Israel, and they had to make a long journey at a very difficult time, at a time when it wasn't going to be easy for them at all. They were going from Galilee down to Bethlehem in Judah, and that's about 90 miles, or about 208 kilometers about, around there. And since they didn't have cars or buses or trains, it would take them about 4 to 7 days traveling by the way they would have traveled. So 4 to 7 days. And then having arrived there in Bethlehem, they found no room at the inn, which would have probably been considered nice at that time. And so they had to take up a nightly room in this animal barn and give birth to our Lord there in the animal barn, the filthy, dirty, stinky animal barn, likely with other out-of-towners who didn't find room at the inn either. And so times were difficult for them as well, just as we feel like they are for us now, and others have looked out over their lives to find difficulties as well. But what we see in these providential details that our Lord gives us, these little details, we see how he's pleased to show his grace to his people through his message, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in times of difficulty, and uses those times to give us faith in that which we hear, to give us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe his word. And so to people that are in all sorts of difficulties and trials, just know that if you're going through a hard time, if you feel yourselves poor or challenged or not up to the task, know that that's no indication that God hates you or that he's cast you off. In fact, the opposite is true. The opposite is very true. You know, God, just because you have difficult times, the thought is, at least if you went by the way they speak in movies or things like that, that God is angry with you, or that God is punishing you for some bad deed. But then think of Mary and Joseph. Was God punishing them? Was God chastening Mary and Joseph by having that come up to be taxed at the worst possible time, when she's great with child and having to travel while bearing in her body a child ready to be born? So you can see how they weren't being punished at that time, and yet God used it. He was bringing it then through that trial to bless the people. And so being a person of low degree, a person going through trials and difficulties, does not at all mean that God has cast you off. He may be speaking to you. He may be teaching you something, but that's not a sign of him casting you off, but rather him being gracious to you and being kind to you through that providence. And so look at verses 8 through 11 with me in Luke chapter 2, Let's pick up, because we see here these angels announcing the birth of Christ to the shepherds. And it says, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. That's where they were staying, in a field. They didn't even have any shelter, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And to clarify that, when the angel says it's to all people, it doesn't mean every single individual person, because many hear the good tidings of Christ, but to them it doesn't come as good tidings. To them it doesn't come as great joy to them. So why did the angel say it's to all people? What we see in there is that it's to all kinds of people. Our God is gracious and merciful to all kinds of people scattered throughout the world in darkness, in low degree, and people of not any great stature, and people going through various difficulties and challenges. And so it's great joy to all kinds of people, not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles, not only to the learned, but also to the unlearned, not to the rich and wealthy, but even to the poor, not to the wise and educated, but even that one who isn't very bright in the things of this world. And so the Lord passed by all these great people throughout the earth. He passed by the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He passed by the kings and the governors and the great people in the earth. And he came to these low shepherds who were separated out from the people, had no place but a field to lay their head on some stone, were in darkness, were in night, and had nothing, were made afraid even, just like you and me are made afraid. And yet the Lord brought to them a comforting message, declaring that unto you, the angel said, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so to you who keep watch, who cry out to your God in the night watches, when it's dark, when you're separated and alone and feeling afraid, the Lord says, be of good cheer. I've brought you good tidings of great joy, peace unto you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13 through 15. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds, those lowly shepherds, said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and they found the babe lying in a manger. So what do we learn of these nobodies, these people who aren't special to society in any way? We see that God sent them good news, a good comforting word, a word which gave them life, and they heard it, and they received it. And what was born in them was a desire, a need to go and see this child. And they went in faith and found that which they were looking for. They found him of whom they sought. They found the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Peter declares something similar, which describes all the people of God in this way. It's in 1 Peter 1, verse 2. He says, elect, you that are chosen of God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, God loved you, and he chose you, and committed you to the care of his Son, Jesus Christ. It says, It's through the sanctification of the Spirit unto one obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Meaning that your God, who chose you, separates you out, sanctifies you, sets you apart by His Spirit unto hearing His calling, His word, His good word, His gospel, bringing you to hear that word and to behold the effectual obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not your obedience, but His obedience is what we're separated unto, to behold who He is and what He accomplished for me, the undeserving, unworthy, worthy, filthy, vile sinner. God did this for me in His Son, Jesus Christ. Peter says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Peace be multiplied. And James even words it this way in James 2:5, saying, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen you, the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? And so it's the poor. In fact, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 26 through 29, he says, ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. So, if you find yourself not only poor, but even mentally incompetent to the challenges that we face, rejoice in your God. You that have nothing, you that find yourselves weak to the test, rejoice in your God, because that's whom He calls, and those are the ones whom He causes to hear His word of good tidings, of great joy. That's to those to whom He speaks peace to their heart. So let's look at these things in which where the peace is multiplied. What does Peter mean by peace multiplied? Well, at the birth of Christ, the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so the peace that God gives us, is it political peace? Is that what He's talking about, political peace in our midst? No. No, there's always going to be fightings and challenges. There's always going to be groups of people that align themselves together, that fight against one another for their interests and what they think is right. What about civil peace? Should we expect there to be civil peace? No, there's always problems and unrest in the hearts of the people. There's riots and crimes and trouble that comes about civilly. So it's not political, it's not civil. What about domestic peace? Should we expect domestic peace? No, there's families that have fightings and difficulties all the time, right? All over the place. Some very grievous differences and fightings between them. So it's not domestic peace either. Nor is it carnal peace, meaning in your flesh. If you are the Lord's, no one ever finds true, lasting peace and rest in pursuing the things of this flesh. We're not going to find that which gives us lasting, comforting peace in any way. In fact, our Lord said in Matthew 10:34, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. And so oftentimes there's differences, great differences between people that cause there to be fighting and grievances with one another. So what is this peace that we're given, which the Lord says on earth peace, goodwill toward men? Well, I believe we can see and understand this peace in three things by the Spirit. By the Spirit, we see in three things. One, our God gives us peace of pardon. The peace of pardon from our God. And two, he gives us the peace of his presence. He dwells with his people and leads his people. We have the peace of his pardon, the peace of his presence. And third, we have the peace of his providence, in which we know and trust that our God is working all things together for our good. And so the peace, the first gift of peace that we have is pardon from our God. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Go to Romans 3 and we'll pick up at verse 24 and 20 through 26. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the purchase of Christ's blood, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to be that very means by which we are forgiven and saved, to declare God's righteousness for the remission or forgiveness of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so we find that in Christ, our God has provided for us the peace of pardon, the forgiveness of sins. He removes those sins. He's put them away by the death of himself and reconciled us to God, that God may be just and justifier of them which believe in Jesus. And having done that, he sends the gift of his Spirit, whereby we know him and have peace with him. Romans 4:25, Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified of the Lord Jesus Christ by his resurrection from the dead, by faith, which he gives to all his children, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first. We have the peace of pardon. You that believe Christ, you have a glorious day, in which you shall, resurrection day, in which you shall awake in the presence of God, forgiven by him, knowing peace with God because your sins have been put away from by the Lord Jesus Christ. The second gift of peace is the peace of his presence. The peace of his presence. So Christ's death on the cross reconciled us to God, putting away our sin. And the other way in which we understand reconciliation is that he gives his Spirit, which removes that enmity that is in each of us by nature, being born of Adam's corrupt seed. He sends his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to abide with us, to drive out, to scatter our darkness, to drive out the enmity in the heart of man, in the mind of man, to drive that out, that we might know our God, be reconciled to our God, trust him, believe him, rejoice in him. That's not the natural man that rejoices in your God. It's that new man, the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ, being born again by the Spirit of God. So we see that reconciliation of our Savior who put away our sin on the cross and brings reconciliation to us, looking to our God, trusting him, having that enmity in us driven from us by the grace of our God. In John 14:25 through 27, our Lord was speaking to his disciples and said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so, our God gives us the presence of our God to dwell with us, to dwell in us, whereby we know him and have peace with God through the faith which he's given to us by the gifts that he's given to his Son to bless us with, that we may know him. Now 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We have the presence of our God, and we're one spirit with him. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. And so, let me say it this way. Because sometimes we wonder, well, how do I know that I'm a child of God? How do I know that he's done this for me? You that believe Christ, you that are sinners and have no righteousness of your own, that have cast all your hope and care upon him, you believe him and have understanding of your God and hope in him and trust in him by faith. By faith, it's because of the gift of your God. You're put into difficult circumstances, and you don't see things as you would see them in yourself, because you're called to walk by faith. You're called to trust him even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of the trials, going through those difficulties and finding yourselves to be weak and unable to do that which you're called to do, that you would look to him and cry out to him for mercy and grace and to keep you. You look to him and cry out to him because that's what he works in his child, to find not satisfaction in yourselves and strength in you, but strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting him, walking by faith, being left to walk by faith and to see his kindness and mercies and grace and love toward you through that difficult walk of faith, because he keeps you looking to him. And so that's why you have an understanding of Christ, of who he is, of who you are, and your constant need of his grace, because he's being merciful to you. He dwells with you. You have his presence, the peace of his pardon and the peace of his presence. And then the third gift is the peace of his providence. We look at Mary and Joseph and the providence that they were brought into. She was pregnant, great with child at that time when the command arose from the carnal governor to go to where you were born, where you're from, in order to be properly taxed. That's just the way that they had to do it in that day, apparently. So they had to travel for days and then gave birth to their child in a filthy manger, in a filthy animal barn. And so we see that the providence of God isn't necessarily easy on the flesh at all. Providence of God does put us in difficulties. We see how our God puts us in difficulties that try our patience. We see how the Lord tries our mind. We are tried in our strength. We're tried in our hearts. We're tried in our will and resolve of things. We're tried in our faith. Right? And Peter speaks of that in 1 Peter 1:6-7. That he speaks that we go through fiery trials, that our faith might be found. Right? That's where faith is found, is in the trial. It's not found, sitting at ease, just having no troubles. It's found in the trial and the trouble. And so, what the Lord does in his providence is in bringing us through trials and difficulties is they press us. They press us, they put pressure on us, whereby we're pressed in spirit, and that's where the breathing or the groaning of the spirit is felt in us. And, imagine yourself being pressed, and you lose your breath. It is a picture in that of being groaning in the spirit, whereby you are put out of place, you are put out of joint, you are put into a position in which you find yourself weak and insufficient in order that you might cast all your care upon him and trust him and look for him to deliver you and to provide for you. And you find that he does. He teaches us there and strengthens his people and comforts his people in the midst of the trial. And so we're given peace through the providences, knowing, learning that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose for us in Christ. And that's where we learn the peace of God's purpose, the peace of God's providence is for us. Now, before we go to that final point, let me just give you something practical. Turn over to Philippians 4. Go to Philippians 4, and we'll pick up in verse 6 and read down through verse 8. As regards the peace of our God for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Philippians 4, 6. Be careful. Be afraid for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, in other words, we do get troubled. We do feel anxious. We do get stressed. But don't hold that. Lay it before your God. Pray to Him. Cry out to Him. Go to Him in prayer with the things that are troubling you and bothering you. You're not bothering God. You could go to Him again and again and again and again and again with that same trouble. Just keep praying. Just keep looking to your God. That's what He's calling you to do. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. In other words, in your carnal mind, with that peace that you receive in looking to the Lord and trusting Him in the face of dangers, in the face of everything that seems contrary to it, your flesh, your mind isn't going to sync up with why you find peace in the Lord. Your flesh is the flesh. It's dead. It's corrupt. It's unbelieving. You keep trusting the Lord. And so in spite of those things, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In the face of great difficulties, the children of God continue in faith, believing the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't leave the Lord. They don't go off in this world trying to find some other thing. There's nothing else out there. We believe. We continue in Christ. And so another thing that we see is that how that we bring anxiety and troubles on ourselves. We do things that get ourselves into all kinds of trouble and difficulty. We do things that knowingly that bring more trouble upon us. And yet Paul gives us this word here in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so he's encouraging the people of God, ponder the things of your God in your heart. Let your mind be stayed upon Him, because thou wilt keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In spite of all the trials and troubles and tribulations and difficulties that we go through, we continue to look to the Lord, because that's where we find peace. The peace of pardon, the peace of his presence, and the peace of his purpose or his providence for us, knowing he does all things well. And so, in closing, let me just say very briefly on this point of obedience of faith. Going back to those poor, lowly shepherds, they moved with haste in seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. They were moved to seek Him. It says in Luke 2:15, and they came with haste. They came in faith and believing. They went to seek the Lord, and they found that which they were looking for. All right, they saw Mary and Joseph, and it says they found the babe lying in a manger, just as the angel had said. They moved with haste, and they came in faith, and they found Christ. And so it is that all who believe the gospel of our God and come seeking Christ, needing Him, finding nothing in themselves, but looking to Him for that which is declared of Him in the gospel, they shall find Christ, just as our Lord says. And just as He said in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.